Planning for the Office of Court Administration, I received an email a couple of weeks ago from Bob Sudlow, the Deputy County Executive, indicating to me that he wanted that this committee, this Ways and Means Committee, wanted me to come up and talk about the family court issues that we're dealing with in Ulster County. And so I agreed, and I brought with me some other people from the court system. Dave Delahunt, who represents the 3rd District Office, which is the office that oversees a variety of court facilities and court operations in the 3rd District of the state. Kathy Lasko, the Chief Clerk of the Ulster County Family Court, and Judge Peters, the Presiding Justice of the 3rd Department, who is very familiar with this court. So the reason I'm here is we have been dealing with some of the problems with the facility that really came to a head last year when an additional judge was additional judgeship was created for the Ulster County Family Court, with that, the county had to provide additional court facilities for that judge, courtroom, chambers, and stuff for the judge to occupy and do the work of the family court. So this was a good thing for the county, nevertheless, the county had to scramble and, within its existing facility, had to establish an additional series of court facilities for the judge to use and occupy. That was accomplished through dealing with, we came up and met in the summer of 2014 with the county executive and the deputy county executive to discuss how we were going to deal with that issue. So looking at the building and in the need to add the additional court facilities to the building, it became incredibly obvious to us that the building that we were in was not really appropriate or no longer suitable for family court operations. There are a lot of problems with it, and we can get into them shortly. But what did happen was a promise was made by the county to address the immediate needs by providing additional court facilities for the new judge, and also to take a look at the long-term solution for family court now that there were increasing number of judges. So that's what we did, and there were representations made by the county executive with respect to how quickly these things would happen. And first and foremost, we split the issues into two categories. One was the immediate needs, which was to address the additional judgeship that was coming in as of January 1st, and then the long-term solution for the county, for the family court needs. And so dealing with the immediate needs, there were a number of things on the list. First and foremost was the courtroom and the chambers and the room for the staff. There were some other issues which we can talk about. And those had to be addressed by the beginning of the year when the new judge showed up. And the county, for the most part, addressed in a timely manner the immediate needs and was able to provide us the additional court facilities in the building. There were a number of other items that we needed to address in the building, which we were told would be addressed shortly, couldn't be addressed by January 1st because all the resources were being thrown at getting the courtroom ready and the chambers ready. But the other things that we needed to have done in the facility or would be addressed shortly thereafter. To date, we still have a list of about 9 or 10 items which need to be addressed in the court facility to make it an appropriate family court facility, a safe family court facility, a dignified family court facility for the people of Ulster County. So that's one issue. Again, as I said, we looked at the building and there were a number of problems that really couldn't be rectified in the short term and sort of as a patching and trying to address what all the court facility needs were. And the county executive indicated to us that they would be addressed with a long-term plan, which we would look for another facility that we could convert or build or renovate or enter to provide a family court for the county, for the court system. So that's sort of how we got to where we are right now. So we have our immediate needs and we have our long-term needs that need to be addressed by the county.
What are the 9 or 10 items that are
Dave Delahunt right has a list of the items that have on the short-term immediate needs list that haven't been addressed yet.
I think it's on the phase two.
Yeah, it's phase two items. These are them.
Okay. Phase two items.
Yeah. So those are the things we need to address as soon as possible in the court facility. Now, let me give you a little background on how this works. The court houses in the county have always been the responsibility of the county. They, prior to the mid-70s, the employees who worked there, the judges who worked there, the facilities themselves were all county responsibilities paid for by the county. In the mid-70s, there were crises in certain municipalities around the state, and as a way to address that was the state came in and took over the payrolls of the employees in certain court facilities. And so as a result, the people working in the county courts became state employees, okay? And they still are to this day. But what didn't change, and so because of that, the county was relieved of the responsibilities of paying for their salaries, their benefits, their perks, their pensions and stuff. And so this, since the mid-70s, has been provided a tremendous savings to the county. But what remained a responsibility of the counties was the providing appropriate court facilities. Now, from the mid-70s to about the mid-80s, certain jurisdictions recognized these responsibilities and addressed them very aggressively or appropriately, and other jurisdictions, not so much. And so what we had from the time the court took over the employees in the court facilities in the cities and counties around the state for about 10 years, some of the cities and counties really weren't taking care of their court facilities. So a commission was established and looked at all the court facilities, and as a result, the commission recommended and the legislature adopted what we call the Court Facilities Act in 1987. And what that did was it created, it codified the responsibility of the localities to provide and take care of what we characterize as suitable and sufficient court facilities that are appropriate to meet the needs of the court. So that's a statutory responsibility of the locality, in this case, the county. And in an effort to make sure that those responsibilities are met, certain aid packages to the localities were created. And what happens is if the county does what it's supposed to do, or if a city does what it's supposed to do, they get reimbursed for certain types of work that they do within the facility. For example, cleaning. The court facilities are cleaned by the county, but the state pays for it. Maintenance and operation. A certain percentage of the maintenance and operation of the court facilities are paid for by the county, but the state reimburses that. So in addition to being relieved of the responsibilities of paying for the court employees in your county courts, you've also have the benefit of certain aid packages that help you to make sure that the court facilities stay in an appropriate, suitable, and sufficient condition. And so that's sort of how we got to where we are today. And as part of...
Sir, may I ask a question? Is it okay, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Yes,
Your Honor. I'll keep it informal. So if you have questions, I'll stop.
Thus far, has the county met its... met its obligation with the court system as far as the cleaning, the maintenance, and what it needs to do so that it is properly reimbursed?
I
guess my point is I want to make sure that we're not behind the eight ball because we didn't do something, but maybe where we dropped the ball kind of a thing. I just want to make sure that we are up to speed with where we need to be currently.
Well, again, there are certain types of aids. With respect to cleaning and maintaining the facility, my sense is, I would defer to Kathy there, the chief clerk, but that the current facility is being appropriately maintained. The problem with the facility is it's not really adequate, okay? And it's in the building on Lucas Avenue, which I think was originally a motorcycle dealership, was built
yes,
for that
was.
And was repurposed. Mm-hmm. when the county needed to address a facility need 17, 18, 19 years ago, they converted it into a family court facility.
No, it was over 30 years.
Yeah, it's longer than that.
How long?
Over 30
years. Oh, it was over 30 years. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry about the timeline. And so we've lived there for how long?
Well, before we took over, the surrogate court was there when the county building had asbestos. They took it over, and the treasurer and surrogate court, a lot of courts moved there. But the family court was moved in 1987, temporarily, we were told.
Yeah, so we've been there temporarily for many years.
It's a rental.
Yeah, it is. It's not a county-owned property. It's a leased property, and that's perfectly fine with us if it's appropriate, but it's not. There are a number of deficiencies which I can let Dave and Kathy talk about in more specific detail, but we need to have them addressed. We've been in conversations with the Deputy County Executive. And my understanding is he's spoken to this committee in the past about this.
Yep.
Yeah. And what the responsibilities of the county are, and what I should speak about is what the consequences of not fulfilling your obligations are.
Spill it out.
Pardon me.
Spit it right out.
Well, I mean, what happens is if the county is deemed is failing in its mission to provide suitable and sufficient family court facilities, the state can sanction the county. And what that means is intercept the state aid you receive on a quarterly basis or a semi-annual basis from Albany. We can interrupt that and to try to get your attention and use those monies for an appropriate family
court. How often have you done that, Mr. Clark? How often has OCA really done that?
Well, they've done it two or three times.
Recently?
The city of Newburgh was it Newburgh? Yes, the city of Newburgh, I think, was the most recent. The problem is whenever we do it, it brings about the results we want. Because it is huge. Well, it's a huge penalty. I mean, this is the Ways and Means Committee. You can tell me how many millions of dollars you receive from Albany every year.
Not enough, but...
Well, it's a large number, okay? It's a large number, and that gets intercepted by state controller, and it puts the county into a crisis mode. And because it is such an aggressive consequence, we're very reluctant to use it. And I think our patience with this county has demonstrated our reluctance to use it. Because we want to work with you. We want to work with the county executive to come up with an amicable solution for our family court situation. But we've gotten to the point where it seems as if the county is not moving forward on its day two responsibilities because we were told they would be addressed right after January. And they haven't
by
been.
Who?
They haven't been.
Yeah, but who made that?
The county executive. The county executive is responsible for making these for the court facilities. Okay, for the planning of the court facilities, for submitting what they're going to do, and so the communication is between the county executive and the chief administrative judge of the state, Judge Marks. So that's the dialogue that exists by statute. And so we've been waiting. Since January for things to happen. Periodic calls, we've looked at facilities that are possible alternative locations. We don't dictate what it has to be. We have space requirements that need to be met. We have layout requirements that need to be met. And we have architects who review these matters. There are guidelines that are published and available on our website that dictate how big a courtroom needs to be, how big a chambers needs to be, how we need to segregate circulation so you don't have prisoners walking in the hallways with the public, so you have private staff office. So you have the appropriate facilities that allow a court to work.
Can I clarify something? Did you say January? So we're almost into a year now?
That is correct.
Okay, This is like the first time we're really hearing that there's... our backs are against the wall as far as a time frame.
Well,
just
again,
so I may speak.
Well, yeah, again, the conversation is between the Office of Court Administration and the county executive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been speaking about this issue in person, face-to-face, for about a year and a half now. Okay?
But you sent the letter, too.
Pardon me?
There was a letter. We got a letter last spring.
Can I ask a question? I mean, we haven't voted on anything. Did they give you anything?
Well, what they did was
vote on, because I don't really like being, and not from you, sir.
Sure.
You say, well, we're delaying. I'm not delaying anything. Right. I could have voted in January.
Right.
Well, okay, so here's...
So, I mean, it seems to me that somebody is trying to make a whipping person out of a group and have not done their job, and maybe they should be told. What's your plan?
Oh, we asked for the plan.
Did they give it to you?
No.
Okay.
But what will happen is there will be a letter from the Office of Court Administration to the county executive. In all honesty, I thought that letter was going to be out by now, and it would be a second letter. But when we got the invite to come up here and talk, I think people for whom I work, we're going to wait and see how this went and incorporate the results of this meeting into that letter.
Mr. Clark, I could say a couple of things. First of all, as you said, you went around, looked at the court itself.
Right.
I don't think any legislative or president those meetings, correct?
Well, these...
Let me just say something. I think that, you know, we're very conscious of what you need. We're very willing to sit down and talk very openly how we can move forward. We are limited on some of our plans, but we're more than willing to move forward to get this done in a timely manner. You know, the question is how timely is timely. I don't know at this point, but we are here. We're not shrugging our responsibility in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. I'm sure everybody else has many other things to do, especially yourself. But, I mean, we're here to see if we can resolve this problem in some way, shape, or form.
Well, again, my dialogue has been primarily with Robert Sudlow. And it, based on my conversation with him, and something you affirmed earlier, is that he has been here and addressed this committee with respect to this issue. Well, is this the first time you're hearing about this?
This is the lawyer.
The lawyer.
Is this the first time you're hearing about it?
No.
Let's not go backward. Let's move forward. So how are we going to move from today forward?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm all about. I don't want to move backwards, but I do want to let you know that we've been having this conversation with the county for a while, and it appears as if, you know, it's not moving forward, and we've been very patient.
You know,
I have a question,
one
sir.
Thing I
sure.
mean,
Chief.
Yes.
First, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, Kathy, Judge, for being here and speaking with us.
I'm pleased to come up here if it can have any type of impact.
And possibly a hypothetical situation. We'll say the county, when the county does move forward, how does any type of reimbursement...
I hope that's not a hypothetical.
Yeah.
All right, reality. When the county does move forward with a plan and there is construction involved, can you explain how any reimbursement would be coming forth from the state of any?
Well, again, the aid streams to the county with respect to its court facilities is statutory. There's the cleaning and maintenance aid, which I already addressed, which you get periodically for keeping the court facilities clean. In addition, if you have a capital plan, and you issue bonds, you do a capital construction project, and you finance that through the issuance of bonds, the state will aid you on the interest you pay on the bonds up to 33% of the interest. I read an article, I think, over the summer where that was inappropriately characterized. It wasn't correct. Whatever they wrote in the paper wasn't correct about that.
Pam, you didn't get it right.
I don't know who the author was.
Okay.
I don't know what paper it was, but I did see something in there, so this can't be right. And I actually told Bob Sudlow about it because, if I'm recalling correctly, I think the comments may have been attributed to him. And he said that's not what he said.
Okay, there you go.
Because Bob sort of understands this, because we've spoken to him many, many, many times about this. We've met with him. We've met with the county executive on this. Because that's the way the communication goes.
Rich.
It's between the chief administrative judge, his representatives, which we are, and the county executive.
I understand. It's very enlightening. I thank you.
Yeah, okay.
But I have a distinct feeling now that we're going to get a letter soon saying you don't make a decision right away. There are going to be potential sanctions, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's why
I'm there's
here.
Nothing I can make a decision on. And maybe we need the same time that the executive has needed to come up with something.
Mm-hmm. So what you suggest is we need to hear the executive came up with something at the meeting. He told us that we would have a new long-term plan within 24 to 36 months. That was a year and a half ago.
I'd like to see it.
Well, these were this is what he represented to us.
Okay.
So and
are there minutes to those meetings? I'll write him a letter in foil for the plans.
So I don't know.
I don't know if those meetings.
I just want to clarify something.
Sure.
You asked about funding. It's my understanding, and I know you'll correct me if we're wrong, that the assistance that was discussed only applies if the building is owned by the county.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you make a capital plan for a building that's rented.
Well, we couldn't anyway if you can't.
For that,
you
make a capital plan for what?
Right.
Well, are you going to bond that? Well, the judge is saying
can't bond.
Can't bond on somebody else's.
That'd be in your county charter, whether you can
no,
or not.
Actually,
I think some charters
if
allow
I may,
that.
If I may, it's a constitutional thing. Because it would be, our constitution prohibits gifts. So any improvements to someone's building would be a gift to them. So that's what prevents us from doing it. So really, would be forgive me if I'm not trying to, but if anything is done, it has to be done by the landlord, and then of course, then that would be negotiated into the lease.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's not exactly.
The
that's generally how it works if a court facility is in a leased property.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I may, I think the rub is the cost is all on us. To give us back one third of the interest means that if we borrow money at 2.4%, you're going to give us back 0.8%.
That's correct.
That 52 cents will buy you a cup of coffee in a diner somewhere. So we're footing the cost.
But
so
that's why I gave you a little bit of the background. The court facilities have always been your responsibility.
I understand that. But I get there as quickly as I can, I promise. The rub is, as we've looked at some of these plans, you know, the cost of the plans are anywhere $7 to $15 million.
So this isn't the first you're hearing about this.
Correct.
Okay.
But it's $7 to $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody wants to pay 15, so we're trying to figuratively come up with a way to do it for 7, and that's not working, and so we're piddly dunking around here through the months because we're trying not to spend $15 million.
I understand.
So that, if I don't know if I'm helping our cause or hurting it here.
No, what you're saying is...
The fact of the matter is we're trying to save the taxpayers a couple of dollars, and there are still people in the legislature that have open wounds from the law enforcement center, and the cost overruns there. So a lot of it is not that we're trying to be cheap. We want to give you what you need and what you deservingly should have, but we're also trying not to spend $15 million.
If I may supplement what you're saying, the other problem too, Mr. Clark, is that there's not a readily easy solution. Building facilities are, you know, I understand that it's approximately 33,000 square feet that you need, if that's my memory serves me correctly. That's significant space.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, so we're limited. The city of Kingston is our county seat,
mm-hmm.
So right now we are limited within the confines of the city.
Right.
And so that 33,000 square foot building right now is not, we're here. We know that, we understand from Mr. Sudlow that you did look up at Golden Hill. Golden Hill was frowned upon because it wasn't, because of the access issues. That's what my understanding was, is that you
Is Golden Hill the social?
Yeah,
social?
Yes.
Health.
Yeah. And that wasn't, you weren't. To put it in.
We did not look at that.
Yeah, we did not. We received literature on it. We received literature on it about from a consultant, but
okay.
We did not tour it. We were not invited to tour it.
Oh, I thought we was.
No,
I was
and we did not. We did not poo-poo its location.
Oh, you did.
I mean,
that's what
certainly
we were
told.
Not.
Well, okay.
Forgive me.
Okay, no.
Okay.
I did visit the Business Resource Center.
Okay.
With representatives from the Office of Court Administration. My understanding is that's outside the city limits.
Yes.
And the way to get around that would be a public referendum.
Yes.
Authorizing this
Yes.
facility to be located outside the county seat.
That's correct.
It's County Law 216 or 218.
That's correct.
Or something like that.
That's right. So we would have to do it in this
Right.
next general election, which would be very exciting since it's such a huge election.
Well, so getting back to your point is we recognize it's a huge, it could be a huge, depending upon how you manage it, a huge dollar cost. All new court facilities are. And so recognizing, we realize we're going to be where we are for more than the 24 or 36 months that the county executive told us. Okay? And therefore, the phase two issues become that much more critical to us in having them addressed. Okay? So that's one of the messages I wanted to deliver to you folks. And in addition to take a hard look at what we're going to do long term.
Say if we float ahead with this, we got approval from the legislative body, majority people, to go ahead to say that we're going to put it up for a referendum.
Pardon me?
We're going to put this up for a referendum this come November. Of course, we have to wait.
To go to the VRC.
You mean to go to the outside the city?
Outside the city.
Okay, all right. Well,
I mean, of course, we cannot do anything until we know exactly if that's going to be passed or not.
Well, how
would you look upon that as, you know, a step from us that we're going to go to Building B? That's where we're going to be.
Well,
I mean, I don't want to spend out all sorts of engineering costs and everything else prior to not knowing if that's going to be approved or not.
Well, my sense is, and again, this is just my sense. I'm not the final decider, but my sense is what's going to happen is the county executive is going to have to come up with a capital plan which addresses its immediate needs for the family court and its long-term needs. And that plan will be submitted to the chief administrative judge of the court, and it will then be presented to the Court Facilities Capital Review Board, which is a separate board comprised of representatives in the legislature, the judiciary, and the executive branch that review these plans and pass on them, approve or reject them. And that's what your capital, if they're approved, that approval is required to be eligible for the interest aid on any bonding you did to finance it. So, but, you know, chances are, like our chief architect, you know, chances are that that plan, if it was developed alongside our chief architect who works to guide local communities in how to provide appropriate court facilities, you know, if that plan were submitted and it was appropriate space and that layout was fine, then, you know, my guess is it would probably be approved, no problem.
That's you speaking. But in the meantime, we're going through this process.
Right.
Okay. I wouldn't be approving any kind of money being spent on any kind of engineering, mm-hmm. not knowing what the outcome of the referendum is going
to
be.
Well, and again, this gets me to the point where we're going to be where we are for a while. And so it seems.
So we have to
Why
look
we
at
need
this.
To get on phase two yesterday.
Pardon me?
We need to do phase two yesterday.
Right. Exactly. I've been speaking to Bob Solo about this for quite a while.
But I mean, and, you know, money is very important, not only to the state, but also to us. If we're going to spend money for phase two that we have to upgrade, and knowing that probably in 18 months thereafter this referendum, that we could be into a new building, why are we spending money for an 18-month period of time?
So what you're telling me is that you're not going to do the phase two stuff.
I did not say that. I'm asking questions.
It sounds like you're setting up for that.
Why are we putting more money in this
if we're going to leave it in 18 months?
Question.
It's like building a temporary road so you can fix the new road.
You know, we have to be...
Because you have a responsibility.
We have a responsibility to the taxpayers, too. So, I mean, and money is a very big responsibility.
Is there a dollar amount in phase two?
Well, you know, the county did a lot of the work to get us to where we are in the facility... through, I think, your Department of Public Works.
Yep.
You know. And, you know, they worked with our chief architect to come up with the design. They worked up with Kathy Lasko, the chief clerk, and Dave Delahunt to make sure that we were, you know, our chief architect is very cost conscious, and he works very hard to save the locality's money. That's what he's good at, you know. And so, you know, we're willing to work with you, but my message here is that patience is just about it.
We need to do phase two.
Correct. And you also need to have a long-term plan too.
So do we have a price on this?
Or you can't talk anymore.
Well, we don't put a price on that. We don't put a price on that because all the facility issues are, in the first instance, the locality's responsibility. Okay.
Don. Mm-hmm.
First thing I'd like, we're kind of new to this. The group, I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent, but this is. We've had about a month, maybe a month and a half. Here's the problem. We brought up the date about where we stand. To want to have you in here to understand that once the legislature is involved, there's a different audience than the audience we have. I think promise you that we're serious about it.
That's true.
I understand that's not enough. You are serious about it. Best case scenario, you weren't happy with a year and a half on here. You can't get any sooner than a year and a half on something that's long term. And we can't make major decisions before we have a vote from the public. Because there's no place to go if you don't know where you're going to go. If they say no, then everything is out the window. So when I understand you have a certain amount of time, I don't see how it could be resolved in a less amount of time to a substantial conclusion until you hear what the public has to say. That's number one.
Well, that's because you have this conversation assumes that the Business Resource Center is going to be
certainly don't have any more information than anybody else, okay. But other than what we've looked at mm-hmm. and talked about, it's something that seems to be in the mix.
Correct.
It may be a little higher.
Well, it's something in the mix, and it's something that's problematic, and it's something that comes with a long timeline and a certain degree of uncertainty.
And that's my point, is that this, that if you're not happy with the year and a half, I can't see if we run a vote in November, and it would take 6 months to fix, even after that, we go through a winter and everything else, the timeline is the same timeline, if it's perfect. So understanding that,
yes.
I think we have to look and say, okay, that's the best we could do under all best circumstances.
Okay.
So then, okay, now we have issues that have to do with what do we do in the interim. And that is maybe where we should focus more of our attention, because I don't see everybody being happy until 18 months from now at best. So that, where do we focus? How do we look? How much money is reasonable by any stretch of the imagination to resolve what we do between now and then? And somehow we have to, you need to understand us, we understand you.
Okay.
It's not. I understand everything you're saying, trust me. And it's not falling on deaf ears. But there's a reality that enters into this at the same time. And how much can you penalize the public, if you will, for the choices that are made elsewhere? So that we need to do something that works. We need to do it in a way that we can afford to pay for it, and that we're not going to hurt the people that ultimately determine who their legislators are and what government they want. And that this is not an easy question to answer, because I don't think nobody's happy, then it's a good thing. So I have to walk away saying that I'm going to be unhappy, and perhaps somebody else might be unhappy at the same time, but we've got to get it done. It's got to happen.
Well, we're unhappy right now, and we have been for quite a while.
I understand.
That.
I'm trying to fix that.
I brought food in, Dave, to make you happy.
So, Mr. Clark, attorney to attorney, to forestall right now, because it seems like the OCA is starting to go down that path of wanting to interfere with the state aid. That seems like where you guys are starting to go.
Well,
thinking about it, it's in the mix.
I can't guarantee that, but I've done this job for quite a while, and my sense is, we're about to turn that page.
Okay.
That's just me speaking, though.
So,
I'm not speaking from my voice.
Let's say the immediate to forestall that. Phase two would forestall that at this juncture.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then that would give us an opportunity, and I'm just speaking hypothetically here because mm-hmm. my clients have not authorized me to make any representations, but so then that would buy us some time to figure out the bigger plan, because it seems like the BRC seems to be a way that a lot of people are thinking about going. But of course, we have that impediment of having to do the referendum.
Sure.
So, of course, and that takes time, and then all the rest of it. So, doing phase two would forestall the interference with state aid, would give you some confidence that the county is doing their part, and then we would have an opportunity to look at things more globally. Am I correct? Is that fair?
Again, I can't make any commitments for the people that I work for.
In your experience, would that work?
My experience is you have to do phase two now, okay, ASAP, and you have to come up with a long-term plan.
Okay.
And it has to be, we have to get it from the county executive, and it has to be sooner as opposed to later, and that's what I came up here to deliver that message to. I've been delivering it to the county executive's office for quite a while now. And I don't always come and speak to the legislative bodies, but when I'm invited, I do come. And these are the types of conversations we have. And it's more of an educational thing for them because it's always comes as news. But nevertheless, it's my job is to point out that it's the county's responsibility. It has always been the responsibility. We will work with you to get it done. But, you know, our patience is running out. And because we've been having this dialogue with the county executive's office for quite a while. And I've seen it in the local papers over the months. So it can't be news to everybody here.
Well, I think the time frame when you started is news. I mean, I'll leave it at that. And you can see that the executive's office is not here either.
Excuse me?
The executive's office is not present.
Right, but they set this meeting up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. I just wanted to
I just said it's interesting of when they started the conversations with the executive's office. Because it only got brought to my attention at the last budget and finance meeting that it was urgent. That was the first time I heard the word urgent. We have to do something, and that's why this meeting came about.
Right.
So,
well, I wasn't even aware of this until a few days ago.
Yeah, so in all fairness, we're all on the same page.
But I...
Hold on, you were not aware of this?
There are two things...
You're at a public works, you're not aware...
No, the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Until the agenda came out, I didn't know there was a meeting. But... there are only two things that come to mind, and I don't have any decision-making authority or anything, but we do not own this building. All of these things are improvements to a building that the county does not own, and that, I think, is a problem. The other thing that I just want to say is that the need for much of this is a result of the additional judge that the state decided to give the county. So, you know, we're trying our best.
Yes.
And I don't know what we can do about this, because we shouldn't be making improvements to a piece of property that does not belong to the taxpayers of this county.
Right, but we shouldn't be running a family court in a court facility that is dangerous to the public, inadequate on many levels, has prisoner facilities in the lobby, juvenile detention facilities right off the lobby, people who stand outside in the weather up here in the cold weather, in inclement weather, a public access window that is up a flight of stairs where you have a lobby that is so small and so open that family court is a very volatile court. It's probably the most volatile court of the court types we have in the state, because the emotions run so high there. And the courthouses, the family court facilities we design now, the waiting areas outside the courtrooms have segregation partitions so that former partners who are at odds can be apart from each other, because we all know that, you know, the emotions run high in those circumstances. This facility accommodates those issues in no way.
Right. Okay, so then the other question I have is just, were these issues known to the OCA before the third judge came?
Yeah, sure they were. But what brought it to crescendo was the county having to sit down and do work in that building to address the additional judge coming. So you have spent money in a leased property, and I believe that was done pursuant to some sort of emergency authorization. Well, I think you're running into the next emergency to avoid sanctions.
Understood.
Jim?
My question could be for anybody in the room. Is a referendum, a public referendum, always held on a general election day? Or can there be an expedited, with proper notice, obviously, a special vote for a referendum?
No, it have to be part of a special election. You can't have it just specifically for the general referendum.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that I know it's possible and people might shoot me, but we need to have a Ways and Means Committee with representatives from the executive's office as soon as they can meet with us. Because there is no option.
Yeah, and I'm available.
Well, there is, but I don't want option B. The only option is we have to do phase one, and we need to do it as quickly as possible.
And I'll give you my number if you need it, because I'm available to answer any questions you have to move the ball forward here. Very important. My number is 212-428-2965. I'll come up to any meetings you have if people need to have stuff explained. I'm glad to do it. And, you know, we're ready to work together with you to move forward on this issue. But it's very important. And I think you're running out of time. Again, it's not my call, but my sense is you're running out of time.
This list, Mr. Clark,
yes.
That's been given to the legislature by Mr. Sudlow, have there been plans already submitted to OCA, and have they been approved for these particular items?
Well, my understanding is that when we were, I think there was a time when the county was considering staying in the court facility, and the landlord did some design work to improve the facility, but I think there was a high dollar. There was more money than the county wished to spend in a leased property. And there are designs that I think incorporate some of these changes that have been looked at by our chief architect. But you know what? I'd rather have our chief architect answer that. So I would go over the list and with my chief architect and see, do we have any specific plan for this? Unless, Dave, do you know the answers to that question?
I think there are plans for a few of these items, but most of the items have not been reduced to a design. However, there have been discussions, I know, with the architect for the owner and the chief architect for OCA relative to a lot of these items.
There's general conversations. This could go here. This could go here. Have they been designed? No.
Okay. Because we still have to go through that process. We'd still have to submit plans to you for your approval.
Right. And some of these items, however, may be just that, for instance, number five on the list, move the security sergeant to existing vacant domestic violence office. That was nothing more than a move of personnel and perhaps some wiring or something. And a lot of this stuff is minor.
Not big ticket items, right. But stuff that will improve the facility to suit our needs in the short term.
Well, dollar and cents wise, what is it going to cost to do these items?
That comes from you.
I understand that, but if you give us a property, we're talking $250,000, we're talking $100,000.
I have no idea what the dollar and cents number would be, but these items are not extravagant items. These are items which are necessary for security or for just basic dignity of the constituents, your constituents, who use that court facility. And those people are coming into a building where they're standing in the rain while they're waiting to go through the magnetometer.
With their children.
Right. Or you have prisoners coming in the front door and being put in a fishbowl, so everyone that walks in that entrance can see that prisoner standing there. That is not what the court is supposed to be about. We are there to help people. And this is the type of stuff that needs to be changed. And there are all kinds of security issues. We have extra security officers that work in that facility because of the problems that we have transporting people back and forth.
Let me ask you, have you been to the family court?
Oh, yeah.
It's a rabbit warren. No. You know? People have to be escorted by court officers from point A to point B.
In every location.
Everywhere. It's crazy. And upstairs, downstairs.
And as Bill correctly pointed out, family court happens to be a court where the litigants are generally not friendly. And it makes it difficult when you have the window for filing a petition on the second floor and access through a single staircase where the one litigant could be coming down and the other coming up. There's no way for us to avoid that in its present design. So these things were the minimal, very minimal changes that we came up with that would make this acceptable on a temporary basis. And our concern is that if we don't take care of these things, there's going to be a problem at some point. Someone's going to get hurt. There's going to be some sort of a problem. And we won't be the only ones being sued if that's the case. I can tell you that. So it's something that needs to be addressed from a security standpoint I mean, by moving the holding cells, for instance, we'll have a separate entrance in the back of the building where the prisoners can be brought in through a separate entrance, not through the center where all the litigants are standing, and they'll be able to be escorted in and out of the building much more safely, be segregated. We'll be able to segregate the juveniles, which are supposed to be segregated from both adult prisoners and from the public. We'll be able to segregate them in a more appropriate setting. We'll be able to take care of the litigants and give them some privacy. We right now have a situation where if someone comes in to file a petition, everyone that's sitting there hears what they're saying. That's not appropriate. I mean, they're talking about personal circumstances. So this is just things that you know, we're asking for your help. We appreciate very much what you've done to date. We appreciate the fact that you were able to meet our time frame to get the judge into the facility where we needed to get her. That was, very, very well done. Our architect did everything he could to try to lessen the cost. We were also able to give you $30,000 towards tenant work. As a contribution towards tenant work, the state of New York paid that through the 686 program. So I don't know if you're aware of that, but we did make that contribution. I think what Mr. Clark is saying is that, you know, these are not things that we're not trying to make it a cushy place for our employees to work. This is something, these are the basic requirements that we need for a court facility to operate.
Yes?
Can I have just a moment?
Yes.
Thank you. I know many of you. I don't know all of you. I'm Karen Peters. I'm now the presiding judge of the Appellate Division, 3rd Department. So my jurisdiction now runs from Sullivan County to the Canadian border, to Vermont, and over to Binghamton. But I started here in Ulster County as a family court judge. And actually, I was a family court judge when Kathy Lasko and I moved from the county courthouse over to what used to be a motorcycle facility. And I remember how proud we were when we got there. And how the people of the County of Ulster, who use that building every day, your constituents, were so excited to be treated with dignity, to have their problems addressed in an appropriate environment. Well, that was 28 years ago. And I'm not unmindful of the disaster that the jail created in all of us, because I'm a taxpayer. I live here. I pay taxes too. But I can tell you that the family court is not meeting the needs of your constituents. Dave was talking about it. You can come visit. Kathy will show you. It's not meeting the needs. It's dangerous, and it's unfair to treat family court litigants with anything less than the dignity they deserve to have their problems resolved fairly. The third judge was absolutely necessary for all of you in this county. The caseload is extraordinary. That judge serves the people who live here. That judge isn't sent around the state or around the district. That judge serves the people that live here. And it's really important, I think, to understand that this family court serves each and every one of you and the people that elected you. I came all the way from New York City from a meeting in the city to make sure to get here just to share with you how important it is to me that my people in this county, all people in this county, be treated fairly and have a dignified environment to have their problems resolved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Chairman, we need to have another meeting in the executive's office.
Well, if I may, Sue, you're the only person from the executive office here tonight. And I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I didn't hear what they said.
We have to have another meeting.
No, not another meeting. First of all, you're the only person from the executive office that's here tonight. And in saying that, can you get us some kind of cost estimate of doing these 11 items?
Sure.
I mean, you know, it has to be an estimate, nothing fantastic. Then also a time frame that we can have our engineers, architects, design this to present a plan to the court, correct? Court engineer, correct?
The capital plan would be presented. It'd probably go through my office. It'd come from the county executive's office. And we work very closely with the drafting of it to ensure that it contains all the elements of a capital plan.
And I'm not telling you to do it, Suzanne. I mean, you do it through Bob, I'm sure. Yep. He has a little more files on it overall. But, I mean, and can you give us a talk? Call me tomorrow and tell me what kind of time frame it's going to take you to first get an estimate of what this costs, and secondly, to get some kind of architect to have a design that we could submit to the courts?
He's responsible for managing.
All right, thank you. And yes. Until we have these plans in here, no sense having a meeting.
But I think we're all on the same page.
Okay.
And I think these.
At least, I don't think we should have a meeting until we know what we're doing here.
I appreciate you coming up, and your words are.
Thank you for your.
Have not fallen on deaf ears.
And in the meantime, before you send any letters or any things out, please give me a call personally or call the county exec. And I will tell you what we're doing. I will assure you that the legislative body will be working on this very vigorously, hopefully in conjunction with the county attorney, or not the county attorney, the county exec, and I will call him personally tomorrow morning.
And we're now in transition to into our new legislature.
Well, the thing is, you still have enough of the people here are going to be here this year and next year, so... Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who's here; they're going to do it.
That's correct. Get out, so.
Unless we get another, extra time frame with that.
Rich.
Ah,
and if anyone does want to come see our building, I'm open. Mr. Parody, I did give him a tour of the building. I don't know, 2-3 years ago at this point. I'm more than happy to do it. It's old. The new part that the county put in is beautiful stuff. It's really beautiful. And we have movable walls. I mean, our walls, we don't have sheetrock. We have walls that you unscrew them in the bottom and take them out. So, you know, please, I would be happy if you want to come as a committee or an individual at any time of day, at night, whatever. It's really crucial to the people of this county.
Can we have your phone number to call
sure,
you for that?
Absolutely. We have new phones. We're not on the county system anymore. Oh,
okay.
So it's 481-9429.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to add, anyone?
No. Thank you for giving us the
opportunity. Yeah, please. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for coming up, and like I said, we will pursue this. Someone will touch base with you, hopefully within by the end of the year, if not sooner. At least give you a direction and what kind of time frame we're looking at.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll help.
Hopefully.
I mean, I make statements unless I can control them. I can't control the architect.
No, I understand. But again, you know, the dialogue, you have to have your dialogue with the county executive. We have to have our dialogue with the county executive. And, you know, our dialogue is going forward.
Well, the only thing I would say that if you're having a conversation with the county executive, please include the legislative body.
Okay. Well, why don't you, do you have a card? We'll CC you on any correspondence.
Don'll give you one of his cards. You can get it through him.
Erica,
my name is Richard.
Yes.
Yes. I also got one of the clerks as well.
Thank you very much.
That's my advice.
Oh, thank you. Anybody have any questions?
No.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's my office.